I was given direction by a resolution adopted by the Legislative Coordinating Commission to convene this first meeting of the Airport Funding Task Force. Let's start by doing introductions. Senator Rest?
Ann Rest.
Dan Larson.
Mike Jungbauer.
David Dill.
Ann Lentusky.
And Representative Mike Beard.
Thank you. As I understand it, there was legislation that passed in the last session that appropriated $200,000 to the LCC to support this task force. There was also separate legislation proposed that did not pass that would have actually created this task force. That did not happen. In June, the LCC met and adopted a number of resolutions creating task forces and working groups, including this one. A copy of that resolution establishing the Airport Funding Advisory Task Force is included in your folders. That resolution calls for there to be, and it was closely followed the legislation that was proposed but not passed, calling for six members, from three from the House, three from the Senate, and then a number of other non-voting members from interested parties. Under that resolution, I, as the director of the LCC, am to convene the meeting and conduct the election for the co-chairs and then turn over the gavel to you folks. If you're ready, I will ask for nominations for the two positions. Senator Rest?
Mr. Huminger, I nominate Representative Dill and Senator Jungbauer.
We have two nominations, Representative Dill and Senator Jungbauer. Are there any other nominations? Is there a motion to elect Senator Jungbauer and Representative Dill as the co-chairs?
There is.
Would those in favor of the motion please indicate by saying aye.
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 Motion's approved. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'll let you handle the first one.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I'd like to thank the Legislative Coordinating Commission for following through with getting this, getting us to this point. Thank you very much for your work and working with the Speaker's office and with the Majority Leader's office to get this done. And thank you, Senator Rest, for working on it during, and Ann, Representative Lentusky, for working on this during the course of the session. One of the things that I think that we need to do, Chair Jungbauer, is to take a look at the list of folks who are advisory to this group. It says in paragraph two, or item two of the Legislative Coordinating Commission section C, the co-chairs of the task force may appoint additional non-voting members. Having looked over the list and knowing that this group is going to be working with airports that are looking at different revenue sources and needs of airports outside of the MAC, which would be the general aviation airports across the state, I'd like to discuss having a Northwest Airlines at least have a presence here and being involved in this and added to this list. And the rationale there is that I can tell you that Northwest has a huge presence all over the state, in my part of the state, Bemidji, Hibbing, International Falls, Thief River, Duluth, and St. Cloud, and a little bit further to the west and south. And they certainly have an interest in the in what happens and how we do things out at the general aviation airports across the state. So some discussion on that?
Representative Dillon, Mr. Chairman, I don't have any problem with having Northwest on there, but I do think we need a process by which people would indicate their interest. So I would suggest that the two chairs send a letter ASAP to each one of the organizations, including Northwest Airlines, asking them, first of all, if they're interested, and if so, if they want to propose someone for our consideration from their group. And I know that we have had, I don't have the letter with me, but there's been at least one organization that has sent all of us, and I think it's in here.
Yeah.
Is it in here?
Yeah, Cook Hill Girard.
Consider that those folks, and so we already have that letter. They don't need to send another letter. But just as quickly as possible, I'm assuming that the stakeholders, since this was part of Representative Beers and my original bill, that then was joined by Representative Dill, that all these people are aware of what we're doing and they're sitting out there. But I do think to be a little bit more formal in who the people are and so forth, that that would be what's appropriate. So, Mr. Chairman, if you want a motion, I would move that we add as a list of possibilities a representative from Northwest Airlines, and then that the chair send a memo ASAP, I mean tomorrow, since we're a little bit behind in our timing here because of the not our fault, the appointing authorities kind of delayed there for a while, and let's see who comes forward.
Okay, there's a motion before the commission to query each of the organizations listed, as well as Northwest Airlines, as to who they're, if they want to, number one, participate in this group, and also to give us a name and contact, as
or,
I understand your motion.
Or names, if they have more than one that they would like you to consider.
Is there a discussion on that motion? Representative Beard.
Mr. Chair, also, I think it's a good motion to do that. We did describe several organizations that we could just think of when we were drafting the bill of folks who would be able to contribute mightily to the discussion. In the interim, I think we've got in our packet a note from Coquille Delaney, who AOPA has indicated they'd like that person to be. I think that's what we're looking for, if I understand the motion, is that the rest of these associations would come forth in writing to the chairs and say who that person would be. There also is another association, sort of the national association, that of which the Minnesota Council of Airports is a member. I don't know if you got a note. I got a note from them in my legislative mail asking for someone to sit at the table and have some input also from that organization.
Well, Representative Beard, I did. And so I guess the motion is well, I have a question on the motion, Mr. Uvinger. Will we go through when we send out a letter of this nature or a memorandum? This goes through your office, or do we use our staff that we have in my office, or in Senator Ress or Representative? Yeah, how do we accomplish that? Our co-chair,
our
Youngbauer?
Our office would be glad to prepare the letter for you to send out.
Okay, very very good. And then we will anyone who has received other than the two that I've now heard about, which I know about those. If you've received any further inquiries, could you let one of the two of us know, the two chairs, and
certainly,
then we'll include them in that group of people. So, there being no further questions on the motion, those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed. Motion does prevail. Another item that I think that we need to work on. And I would ask those in the audience who are on this list and who may be on this list that one of the things that we need to take a look at is it will be the scope of work and the scope of deliberations that we are going to be looking at over the course of our tenure at this committee. Are we a commission?
Working group.
Very good. Working group. So if any of you have suggestions, if you could email them to one of the two of us chairs, we will then take those under advisements, as well the members, the same thing. One of the things that we are going to be looking at, as I understand it, is how we fund general aviation, or aviation in general, and general aviation across the state. Now, I have one item here that you might want to familiarize yourself. I didn't get the other one. It was just an oversight here in getting this done. This is out of the Minnesota Tax Guide on aircraft registration and tax payments. The other is, and it's also in the tax guide to Minnesota taxes, which is available quite readily, the fuel tax. My recollection is in terms of the fuel tax, that is something that we should probably take a look at as well. I don't remember the date. I knew during session when the last time that was adjusted. It was a long time ago, as I recall.
Too long.
Senator
Rest.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are two things. Before we have our next meeting, I'm sorry that I don't have the other one. It just quickly came to me that we should have this, and we ended up with the one on that registration. But Representative Lincheski, being the tax chair, maybe you could have your staff person send that out to this group. Could you do that? Have Sarah send that out to just the tax, the fuel tax portion,
sure,
in an email to everyone? Okay. And then we can familiarize ourselves with that. Also, I'm wondering, is there a reason? There isn't really a reason for me. I mean, I'm an aviation consultant every day of my life. But maybe there's a reason for this group to actually take a look at, through maybe we get from MACOA and other groups, some areas of complication, so to speak, in the general aviation system that we actually go out into the field and observe firsthand, you know, where maybe there's problems that we need to look at and try and get an idea of what the long-term scope is as well. Maybe we should get from MnDOT a summary of the CIPs in the general aviation network and what the unfunded backlog is, how much the state would have to. I'm sure they have that information very readily available. In terms of existing CIPs, those are capital improvement programs that are submitted by each airport. They look out about 5 years and even further, but 5 years certain. And then find out what percentage of those are eligible for federal funding and what is eligible for state funding, and kind of get a grasp of, you know, what kind of money that we're really looking at to meet the needs of aviation in future years. Some thoughts on that, Senator Rest?
Well, Representative Dill, I think we have quite a bit of work to do if we undertake these duties, and it seems like to me that would really be an expansion of this task force or working group. And I don't think they have a committee in the House, but we have a committee in the Senate that deals with that. I mean, it's a subcommittee in transportation, and I chair on airways, railways, and waterways, or whatever.
Yes, we do not.
And I know, and I wouldn't want to see this task force then become a substitute for my subcommittee, quite frankly. So I'd like to start with what's on here and then see how far we get with making some recommendations there. And we only have until February 15th to accomplish that. I guess I don't have any real objection to it, but I don't want to go right to that until we do things like have a review of the adequacy of the current resources for the State Airports Fund and the uses of sales tax on aircraft, how other states fund airports other than MSP. We can get Northwest Airlines in here and we can have somebody from the MAC on in our group, but we're not really talking about MSP here. But I would be interested in having information. And as you mentioned, we from the State Airports Fund, we do have an appropriation that passed, even though the task force language didn't pass. So we have that $200,000 that we can tap into. And I realize that maybe when you're talking about CIP, that we can be looking at, you know, the aviation needs of the future, and that would come under that. But I just hope we don't get too expansive and not really deal with the meat of this that we started with, is State Airports funding. Is it being funded the way it ought to be funded? And I think that was the major question and issue.
Well, Senator Rest, I'm not in disagreement with you, but I just question or wonder, can we really decide what is the proper policy of the state in terms of taxation and in terms of revenues when we don't know the need. when we each don't know the need, and that's the reason I came up with that. And also, I didn't come up with it. It's item D, as you say, Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, I think also in to Senator Rest's point, I think we do have a lot we're charged with, and I think some of that looking at physical things may be a key component to that. But I think two things, and some of the organizations here can help us with this, and I have access to a lot of this. I've been following the debate at the federal level, and I think we need to understand some of that debate at the federal level because I think a lot of it bleeds over to what we're doing at the state. The same arguments will exist in those sort of things. In knowing what other states are doing is kind of a key thing because sometimes we focus on what are our revenues and not so much what are our expenses. Are we buying good things? Are we getting the right values? But I think more importantly, if you take like item E, the aircraft registration taxes, there's been a lot of discussion about what we charge in Minnesota, and we may well be able to lower that and get more people to bring their aircraft and place them on Minnesota airports and actually have a broader base, make more in terms of revenues. I think those are some of the key things is why are people keeping their aircraft outside the state of Minnesota? We need to look at those bigger issues. When we know a lot of those corporations are actually physically working out of Minnesota and registering their aircraft other places. I think those are some of the key things we need to answer at the beginning of this in order to understand that whole funding issue.
Representative Beard.
Well, Mr. Chair, this is a good segue into the clip that I got off of AbWeb yesterday that talks exactly about this in another state that's apparently arrived at the same question that we've arrived at over the past couple of years, Senator Rest. Is indeed this a disincentive, and are indeed airplanes moving? We hear this anecdotally, and I think that the genesis of the bill was to form an official task force that would actually look at real data, not just what we hear, we pick up in hangar talk or things around the airport or at meetings we attend, but what is really happening? How much of a disincentive is it? What are the neighboring states doing? And so I think the fond hope at a minimum that this task force come up with was it'd be real data that would help policymakers make intelligent choices. If we indeed we find it's a disincentive and X number of aircraft are based elsewhere or that could be here, then we can we have real multipliers to work with. What does that mean in terms of employment, additional revenue without even raising the taxes, so as it were? If we move one and keep it revenue neutral to aeronautics, does the entire pie grow? I think Senator S. makes a good point there. Into this, I think just by its very nature is going to come a discussion of what it then is the need. What could we be doing? I don't know if we're going to get that done by February 15th, but I think at the very minimum, if we can give a firm understanding among the six of us here with the help of the folks in the audience about what the real issue is, what the real data is, I think we can start doing some good work on then what could we be doing better. How can we do more? Do we need to do more? But that, I think, was the minimum that we were hoping for, was real data that gets at this article that I just put in front of you today.
Well, that brings me to another question that Senator Rest brought up, was the date February 15th. Are we going to stay on that date that we're going to have something available by February 15th?
We don't have authority beyond that. Pure and simple. We must report, number six, we must report recommendations by February 15th to our chairs. And then as soon as we
number
do
seven.
That report, it expires. I mean, and that happens with every task force that the LCC set up. And it sets the guidelines for good advisory groups. You have to have an end date, and you have to have something that includes accountability to a standing committee of the legislature.
Well, Mr. Ubinger, is that been the other groups that started the same way and got started the same time, what has happened with them in this process?
Mr. Chair and members, Senator Rest is correct in pointing out that deadline. And as she also pointed out earlier in the meeting, there were some delays in the appointment of members, which caused some delays in the beginning of the groups to meet, and some other working groups established by the LCC haven't met yet, and so it's unlikely that they will meet their deadlines that were established in the resolutions. You're right that there would be a problem. There may be a problem with with the legal authority of the task force to do its work. On the other hand, the working group or the task force is making recommendations only to the full legislature, and so the legislature could decide what to do with those recommendations, even if they're made after the deadline has passed.
Okay. Any questions on that? What other what other items would the members like to discuss today, since that we're kind of flying in the clouds without instruments at the moment?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to I don't know who would provide the information, and I don't think it's Mr. Hubinger's expertise, but I would like someone to be able to give us the beginning data for the what we are, you know, going to be about, like how other states fund airports, and maybe once again, not their huge commercial metropolitan airports, because our focus is on the state airports.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how that's been helpful in the past, and maybe it's the Department of Aeronautics and in DOT could give us that information. I'd also like to know, and I know my subcommittee has gotten this information in the past, but from going to the AirTAP forums and stuff, but exactly what projects and what dollars have gone out to Minnesota's airports using the airports fund, and just a description of how it works. Mm-hmm. And as you know, in 2003 we raided it and took the $10 million and left it bankrupt, and now that money has been replaced and is available for whatever its legitimate purposes are. But I think it would be really good to have the six of us to have a really grounded understanding of the airports fund, how it currently is funded, where the money goes, how it's replenished, and then information, at least for our next meeting, then before our next meeting, so we can look it over on how other states, and maybe states that are similar to ours and some of the other Midwest states, fund their airports. And I'm not talking about things like O'Hare or Midway or Milwaukee or Detroit. I'm talking about how I can't imagine. I don't know if there's a big airport in Iowa.
Well, you're referring to general aviation.
But looking, yeah, really ones that support general aviation. We certainly have some, you know, commercial flights that go into other cities in Minnesota other than Minneapolis, St. Paul. We have a Rochester airport, which is owned by Mayo, although it's a public facility, and we have different ways in which airports function here. But I think that'd be interesting, too.
Well, would we want to...
And I don't know. I know we want the information, Mr. Chairman, but I'm not sure who's going to give it to us.
Well, most of the information that you referred to we could readily get from MnDOT, and that's from Aeronautics, and that's where we should get it.
I would hope that the chairs would ask the Department of Aeronautics.
They may well be able to provide the other representative.
In point number 5C, and just we talked about when it was a live bill and we had it in the MnDOT bill, the ability for us to hire a consultant if necessary to carry out this work is something we had talked about. Within this group, there may be somebody who can help moderate and pull together the information that we're looking for, or set the agenda. We can tell them what we want, and then create the agenda and find the people to respond to questions or testify to the agenda that this group is looking for. It's here in writing, and we've been authorized to spend that money to do that if we wish. or we can lean on our staff, or you guys can get real involved for the next 4 months and roll up your sleeves and do that work. I mean, it can be done in either way.
Well, Mayor Sambir, the Democrats are well known for being having tight budgets. And so I would suggest that we try
and do it without an outside consultant.
Do as much of it.
I think we should make use of the state agencies as much as we can.
That's where I was headed with that comment.
I know.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Beard, and if there is, we put the money in there using the airports fund for the possibility of a consultant. If the information that we required was going to be of such a technological or complicated or complex nature that we needed an expert independent of what the Department of Aeronautics could provide for us, and I think we need at least another meeting where we get some of that basic information before we get into a discussion of how of using those funds for hiring a consultant. We better be pretty sure we know what we want that consultant to do for us.
To that point, Representative Beard.
Exactly. When we originally drafted this bill, I know there was some talk about, well, why don't we just have Aeronautics do this for us? And I think there was an interest in not putting the administrative position, the folks at Aeronautics who actually execute the plans that we as policymakers make, putting them in an awkward and untenable position. We make policy. We're trying to ascertain facts. As long as we're asking them to come in as outsiders and contribute facts, I think that works marvelously well. I was a little concerned about having them actually run the meeting or be the facilitator that was kind of guiding us, and I didn't think that was going to work with nearly the credibility that it would if we had them just as an equal partner at the table with the other 9 or 10 people on this list or however many there are. So that's where I think having the ability to pull someone from the outside that doesn't have a dog in the fight, but it can help us reach credible conclusions with information of integrity, I think is an important option that we should keep open to us ourselves. However, having said all that, on this list of people that we're going to be vetting and inviting to be on this team, there's an enormous amount of horsepower, intellectual horsepower here. A lot of experience, a lot of folks that know stuff inside and out. I would suggest, just from a how we're going to do it perspective, that when we have the next meeting, we have these folks selected, that they sit right here with us and participate in this give and take, just like we do, even though I believe we're the only ones with a vote when it comes to the end of the day. But I think we're going to find a lot of information sitting out here that's champing at the bit. They're ready to share it with us. And finding someone to moderate that discussion and guide that discussion is, I think, what we're looking for.
Senator Youngbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Being the fiscal conservative that I am myself, I would rather not get a consultant involved unless necessary. And I think we have a lot of things we can wade through here. And I'm going to charge people out in the audience, because I know a lot of you belong to organizations that have access to exactly the data and other reports that have already been put out that MnDOT may not necessarily have or may not necessarily want to pass on to us. But because the debate has been so active at the federal level the last several years, there is piles of this information on the different funding from different states. As I say, and I know Representative Dill, Representative Beard, for sure you guys, I know, have been kind of following that debate as well, because it affects our what I do very minimally now, but in terms of aviation. So I would hope that some of the people in the audience can bring back some of that information or get it to us in the meantime. And my office would be happy. My LA has already been told his job will expand a little bit here. But I think we can get that out to the group, and hopefully within the next week we can get a bunch of information so we can digest some things and get the next meeting scheduled at ASAP. But we need some more of this data to be able to sink our teeth into, so we have some idea where we want to go. And I'll be happy to meet with Chair Dill to figure out the next agenda, but go through some of these things.
Well, I can kind of see the direction that this is developing. And so I think Senator Youngbauer said that we'll have to bang heads on this. And I think we can pull in a bunch of these resources right away and get them out to people. And then if you can familiarize yourself with the information, and then the next time we get together, we can go over it If someone has specific questions, we can pull from our resources from state agencies, go over it, get a full understanding of it, and then start to try and formulate our real direction on what our, where we're going to, you know, the direction that we're going to go to the end point. So is there anything else that the members of the working group would like to discuss at this meeting?
One final thing. You know, we're looking, this is a group that's studying how our airports fund. And although it's coming about because a number of stakeholders have expressed reservations or dissatisfaction, you mentioned the registration fees and so forth, I don't think we should presume that we necessarily are going to recommend a change in policy.
Right.
I mean, after we do all of this, we may come right back and the report to the transportation committees and subcommittees will be, this is just fine. And it needs to be monitored, but we don't see the need to change it. Or we may, you know, obviously feel free to make policy recommendations that do change it, but it's we're not presuming that we're going to do that.
Good point.
Okay. With that, is there anyone in the audience that would like to address us today? Anyone at all? Come forward. I think you're on the air down there, so you're a long way away, though. I think it's Ray Streggy. I can't have my glasses on, but you look familiar. Go ahead, Ray.
Streggy with Shordale at Hendrickson. I guess Rule 58 of the Senate Rule 58 says I need to tell you I'm a lobbyist and work for Shordale at Hendrickson, and my purpose is I've been with Minnesota, involved with Minnesota Aviation for 35 years, and it's time to turn it over to the next generation. I want to make sure that the next generation has at least as good or better of a aviation access to the air transportation system as we did 35 years ago. Comparing state tax structures is readily available. One other thing, SEH is not interested in being a consultant to this organization. So their Conklin and DeDecker annually updates the information as to the taxing of from state to state, and that's $250 a copy. I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel at that level, at the state level. Where the questions come in is at the county, the local levels. If aircraft are taxed as personal property, also the same type of thing for airlines. So that's where it's going to get real difficult and real tricky, is getting to the lower levels. We know what the state levels are, but getting down to the lower levels is where I think, in order to make a true comparison of basing in one state as compared to another, is where we need to get.
Any questions for Mr. Trigg?
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you. Anyone else like to come before us today and address us? Come forward. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Neil Bracken. I'm with the Minnesota Business Aviation Association. I'm the communications officer with that group. I have a bit of a prepared statement here. I'm here to represent the Minnesota Business Aviation Association. We're comprised of over 350 organizational and individual members within the state of Minnesota. We represent business aviation in this state. We have the best interest of the state economy, the state airports fund, as well as business aviation in mind. Our members and our member companies operate aircraft in support of the businesses, large and small, in interstate, intrastate, as well as international commerce. We do not directly compete with commercial air service. In contrary, we supplement and fill in where commercial travel is not sufficient or does not allow our member businesses to remain competitive. We drive Minnesota businesses through time savings, productivity, while maintaining industrial security for our respective companies. This in turn creates additional travel requirements and needs for our businesses, which translates into increased commercial air travel. What our members are and what they do. For example, our members operate aircraft to and from communities with limited or no commercial air service, connecting them to airline networks that would otherwise be unable to utilize, which connects them to their suppliers, customers, and clients. Our members include large retailers and manufacturers who are able to visit multiple store locations, multiple plant sites, both urban and rural, in one single business day, something which is not possible with other modes of transportation. Our member companies have operations in small communities throughout Minnesota and across the U.S. and are able to have headquartered employees here in Minnesota spend full work days on site and still return home for that night, something which is not possible with other modes of transportation. Our members increase the productivity of their employees, saving time, money, and bringing more economic growth to the state. Our members are maintaining and expanding their competitive advantage over companies which are outside the state of Minnesota. This enables them to expand and grow the employment base here in the state of Minnesota. What our members are not, we are not supplying extravagant travel means for the personal enjoyment of a few elite individuals and executives. A common example, we have a member company who recently put into service a $30 million aircraft and has had the CEO on this airplane for business purposes, no personal travel, only three times in the first 200 hours of flying service. The fact is, we operate aircraft in support of these businesses, carrying all levels of employees to the 5,000 plus airports that we have access to across the country and thousands more around the world, something which is not possible with other modes of transportation. We do not take paying passengers away from commercial airlines. We supply the airlines with passengers. Our saving of time, money, and productivity, taking advantage of these previous examples that were given, allows our member businesses to grow, open new facilities, expand business channels, which then produces more commercial airline traffic to and from the state of Minnesota. We do not operate in lieu of commercial airlines. We operate in addition to commercial airlines. One of our member operators here in Minneapolis, based at MSP, has three aircraft. They fly close to 1,500 hours annually. This has remained consistent, yet the company's commercial travel budget has continued to grow over the past decade and now exceeds $15 million in airline tickets every year and is growing. The fact is, our member companies use their aircraft for business, transporting employees again of all levels throughout the state, country, and world, which helps support and grow the economy here in Minnesota. Our membership also includes support services, which fuel, clean, support, and maintain these aircraft. The growth of our membership, the increase in the number of aircraft used in business purposes within the state of Minnesota, directly and positively affect the state economy by growing our businesses and growing the supporting businesses within their operations of business aircraft. The fact is, operating business aircraft is very good for the state of Minnesota. It's good for business, and it should be encouraged. This committee is very important and vital to maintaining the state of Minnesota's competitive balance in allowing businesses to operate aircraft in a fiscally responsible manner and in keeping them here, registered and based within the state of Minnesota. The fact is, business aircraft sales are currently at all-time highs. Firm orders currently put wait times at 3 to 4 years for many models of these aircraft. Demand is high. The airplanes are coming. All forecasts keep this demand high for the foreseeable future. You can assure that Minnesota businesses will participate in this trend. It is far too valuable a business tool to ignore. Through the many changes in outright ownership, including outright ownership, fractional ownership, timeshare, and charter agreements, Minnesota businesses are going to participate in business aviation. There are going to be many users of the facilities within the state of Minnesota, and they should all support the development and continued operational improvements that the State Airports Fund facilitates. Every new aircraft delivered in the United States will be registered in one of these states. Minnesota must remain competitive and attractive to operating business aircraft now and in the future in order to support this substantial industry. The State Airports Fund is important to the state of Minnesota. It's vital to our member companies. Having the facilities to support aircraft operating in the state is vital for the future success of the businesses and the communities throughout the state, as well for as well as for attracting new businesses and more businesses into the state. The MBAA does not support any proposal or discussion which may reduce the funding of the state airports fund. In direct contrast, we feel an updated financial model is necessary for this vital office to expand its services and facilities in order to support the growth in aviation that is coming from within and from outside the state. We have met with representatives of the MnDOT Office of Aeronautics and look forward to continual dialogue with them and other members of this committee and in the audience regarding any changes that allow a more steady and stable revenue model that funds their important work. Their success is tied to our success and vice versa. All of aviation has changed significantly since these funding sources were established. Cost of aircraft, cost of fuel, amounts of fuel consumed, the many ownership models that have been developed, property utilization and designation by commercial and business aircraft has moved dramatically from the original model of this funding. We want to be part of this discussion on the issue. We want the entire state of Minnesota to look forward and find reasons to attract business aircraft into the state. The MBA believes it's time for a review of this 1940s era funding for the State Airports Fund, and we applaud and greatly thank the members of this community for being here and moving forward this very important task, which we believe will benefit the entire state of Minnesota.
Thank you. Any questions of the testifier? Senator Ray.
Mr. Chairman and sir, I really appreciated the comment that one of the goals should be certainly not to come up with a funding source that diminishes the fund. We're not looking for a way of making this fund only raise $5 million if it's raising 10 now. I mean, that is not a goal, and I think that's something to keep in mind as we're looking at the possibilities of different kinds of funding sources for the fund, that indeed we might be looking for ways to increase it, but certainly not to diminish the impact that it has even currently. Thank you for that comment.
Well, Mike, I really think that we do need, Mike, with having not seen every piece of information that's going to be available to us, but having worked in the field on these projects for some time, the need certainly outstrips the assets that we have available, and some of the needs are critical in nature, critical to safety. I'm not even talking about passenger comfort or convenience. I'm talking about safety. And so this system has grown, and as he testified, the testifier testified, the use is growing, and it's something that one of the reasons that I said originally that I wanted to know, I think it's important to know what the capital improvement programs are, that airports all across the state, I think there's about 135 or three general aviation airports have said, we need the following, because we need it for this reason. And MnDOT has all that information, and between all that, I think we can mesh that together and figure out what a strategy might be, you know, in the before February 15th. Anyone else like to come before Representative Beard?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for Mr. Bauckham, but first maybe a comment to my colleagues around this table. You know, MnDOT's kind of in an enforcement mode when they work with revenue on airplanes that are based here, licensed here, sales tax paid here, and so on and so forth, versus planes that probably should be but are based somewhere else. And that's a very sensitive nature. And when we ask these kind of questions, people can get kind of twitchy, and rightly so, about that, particularly if it's a company with a high profile and all of a sudden revenue is asking questions, or we got a tax committee chair or two hanging around this committee. And you know, having MnDOT on the committee, again, is part of the wisdom of not having them in an awkward position of being in enforcement, then sitting right next to somebody who says, I keep my plane in Sioux Falls or something like that. That would be an awkward spot.
Or they have a foreign operating corporation.
Yeah. We could go there, too, I suppose. But Mr. Bauckham, without naming names, I'm just curious about the membership of Minnesota Business Aviation Association. Do you actually have to keep your plane in Minnesota to be a member? Do you actually even have to own a company plane to be a member of MBAA? Can you just be a company that charters from time to time and still be a member? Or is it possible, in your opinion, for us to accrue credible evidence of airplanes that could be based here and aren't without actually naming names and sending people to jail.
Well,
you follow my question?
I do. There is not a requirement that you be a company based in Minnesota, be a part of our membership. You just have to have be an associate with a company who's involved in business aviation or general aviation within the state of Minnesota, which stays within our scope, which is corporate and business aviation. I think that you were right on line with what you're saying in regards to the difficulty and probably the conflict of interest in having people here testify to come forward and say, yeah, I based my airplane, you know, in Hudson, Wisconsin for these very reasons. And probably the more attractive goal, and we would certainly, you know, we're very much on board, and I think it goes without saying, we'd like to participate in discussion and supplying any information that we can from our membership and our association with the national organization, which is the National Business Aviation Association, which again, which also provides a lot of information, prepared information on state taxes and registration fees around the country. But I think you're going to be able to find a lot of anecdotal, if you will, information on comparative states, surrounding states, and throughout the country, which can give you a very good indication of where some of these aircraft might be going and might be based, which still allows them to be operated efficiently and effectively for the businesses that is operating and owning them.
Further questions of the testifier? Thank you. Anyone else would like to address the working group? Come forward.
Co-chairs Dill and Youngbauer. My name is Brian Ricks. I am executive director of the Duluth Airport Authority in Duluth, Minnesota. You were talking earlier about representation on this committee. I'm also the state representative for the American Association of Airport Executives. I believe one of the letters you were referring to was from Torrance Richardson. He is president of the AAAE Great Lakes chapter, and in his letter he's requesting my participation as an advisory member on this group. And again, as the letter indicates, there are a number of national organizations identified. AAAE has thousands of members across the country, and over 30 members of Minnesota airports are members of AAAE as well. So I wanted to come here, introduce myself, and respectfully request that AAAE has a seat at the table. The other comment, we're certainly happy to hear NBAA's comments regarding protecting the integrity of the Estate Airports Fund. I think what you'll find as we go through this process that this fund is critical to all airports of various sizes, whether it's a very small general aviation airport on up to an airport the size of Duluth or Rochester and frankly, Minneapolis as well. And, you know, the way we view things is that the federal funding priorities are really based on security and safety. And we all know there isn't enough federal funding to go around. And typically what we see with our state airports fund is where those priorities drop off is really where the state airports fund kicks in on very critical and important projects. So. You'll see that, I'm sure, as you go through this process. But again, I wanted to just introduce myself and request some participation on that committee.
Well, thank you for coming. And first, I've seen you. You were on TV last night. I saw you on the local news last night. I heard you on Lou Lotto this morning on my way down here. And you certainly have some challenges in the making. And appreciate you did a good job on the radio this morning explaining it to people that don't know much about aviation. So I'll send a rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hibinger, are you taking the names down of the people and their association so that the minutes of this meeting that we have will reflect who those folks are?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I've been watching him write.
Okay, good. I wasn't paying.
Okay, thank you.
So we don't have a witness list down there, so I was just...
Anyone else like to come before us today? Yes, come forward, please.
Co-Chair Dill and Youngbauer and members, and... To Congressman Beard's...
Your name and for
Carol
the record,
Hamlin, please. I'm the Vice President of the Minnesota Council of Airports.
Thank you.
And you do have a letter, or will be getting one. Representative Beard has ours. It says, I'm the primary rep to your group from that group, and Bill Tao, who's president, will be the alternate. I do not always run up and kick people in the shins. Congressman Beard thinks I do sometimes with our comments, but our Representative Beard does. But a couple of things that were said today. First, I think you'll be surprised about the magnitude of the difficulty of gathering our information on tax base and how we generate it as compared to other states. Ray Strady spoke to that slightly. That was the discussion when this all came up about the possibility of having a consultant to do that. When you look at the economic driver, which the Business Association talked about airplanes being, you have to understand the magnitude of how the impact of owning an airplane in South Dakota versus Minnesota versus Florida is, and it's all those details. So, and MnDOT does not have those details. Aeronautics does not have them. We don't have them at hand. The study you have there gives you the airplane-related stuff, but it doesn't tier that second tier of information. The other part of that is from the airport's perspective, Senator Rest and all of you indicated, it is critical, that fund. Bemidji has benefited to the tune of about between federal and state funds. We've rebuilt that airport in the last year and a half, 2 years. Almost to $16 million worth of work up there combined between the two. That's critical to the economics of that community. Bemidji is just an example of those airports. So to the senator's point that we need this fund desperately, it's true. That's how you keep your airports going. The third point is that there's an issue with registration. You've all talked about registration and everything. I will tell you that your registration database in Minnesota is probably incomplete. Registration at this point is almost voluntary in the state of Minnesota. We have no way, we do not any longer have a way to check if somebody actually registered their airplane in the state in compliance with the laws of the state. It used to be MnDOT did ramp checks, if you want to call them that. They don't do that anymore. Airport managers, we don't go out, and plus about 2 years ago, we removed the stickers off the airplanes. So we have no way of knowing whether somebody's complying or not. So that's another part of that puzzle here. And it goes to Representative Beard's discussion of non-attribution when we start talking about that and whether we look for actual re-registration. So again, I appreciate the opportunity. You'll all get the opportunity to have to put up with me at times, so I appreciate it. And hope Thank I can you. Contribute as we go through this.
Any questions for the testifier? Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Senator Larson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate Mr. Van Leeuwen and others coming forward. It would help me maybe if just briefly the other folks in the audience could just stand and introduce themselves to us so we know who the players are.
All right. Somebody want to start and start and move our way around? Welcome. Now we have Mac here.
Mitch Killian, Metropolitan Airports Commission. I'm Director of Governmental Affairs, and we're listed as one of the task force members and look forward to participating. There's been a little small conversation about MAC here today, and we do get a small percentage of the funds to go towards some capital projects on reliever airports and MSP, so we're interested in participating and do what we can to help to supply information as we need.
Thank you. Who's next? Don't be bashful.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Davidman. I'm the Director of State and Local Government Affairs for Northwest Airlines. I want to first thank the task group, working group, for inviting Northwest Airlines today to participate. We're looking forward to it. And I believe commercial airlines pay over 50% of the money that currently goes into the fund that we're talking about. So obviously, this is an important fund to not just Northwest Airlines, but all commercial airlines. And so we're looking forward to being a part of it.
Thank you. Who next? Anyone else? Just stand up and say your name, who you're with, if you'd like.
My name is Alex Hack, representing the Minnesota Aviation Trades Association. I'm with Thunderbird Aviation, but Minnesota Aviation Trades represents the FBO, or airport operators, around the state of Minnesota. and I'm a director with that organization, and just forward looking, getting some input a little bit different from the other individuals here. We obviously are affected by the airports as operators, but in a different way than, or not in a direct way as in a building project, but we obviously will either reap or suffer depending on what could happen as Neil said very well. So look forward to being on the group.
Thank you. Who else?
My name is Gary Workman. I'm the new director of the Office of Aeronautics for Minnesota Department of Transportation. And looking around the room, I probably have the least experience of anybody in this room in aviation or aeronautics. We are going to supply you with whatever information you need that we can provide. I would like to point out that a couple of the people have testified. The issues around airport, the taxes structure is a complicated issue, and it's not as simple as asking the Office of Aeronautics to supply that, because there are various other ways of taxing aircraft or aircraft ownership around the nation that is a little hard to come by. So that might be one of the things that we're going to have to really struggle with. We certainly can provide you with the information about the capital improvement and our funding and how the registration fees and other types of revenue are generated. So we look forward to working with the committee and supporting this very important study.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right.
I'm John Kavanaugh. I work with Cook Hill Girard. You have a letter from me. We represent the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Hopefully, the next meeting, the representative will be here from the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else to come before the working group today? All right. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Members, if you could fill your per diem forms out now, it's easier, to get the coaches to sign.
No, I don't actually, but I mean, it's in order. So I borrowed Dan. I'll, 6-3-7-3-3. The one here is 6-3-7-3-3.
Our rules are governed by what your body does.
Okay. Okay, can I just do one?